Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and this week will actually be a continuation of what we started last week in Romans chapter 8. And last week we were able to cover the first 11 verses of this wonderful chapter. And in that chapter we saw in verse 1 that the believer is free from all condemnation. In verses 2 and 3, the Holy Spirit frees us from sin and death. In verse 4, the Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill the law, not in the sense that we now outwardly do the law, but the law is fulfilled in us through the work of Jesus Christ and through His fulfillment of the law. And then in a larger section, in verses 5 through 11, we have seen that the Holy Spirit has changed our nature. And now when we come to verses 12 through 17, which we'll be looking at all this week, there begins to be a change of emphasis, especially in verses 12 and 13, which speaks about now our obligation to live a holy life before the Lord. The Lord has accomplished this work through the power of the Holy Spirit in changing us, and now at this point we're not just passive, but now we need to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, with His help, with His strength, and with His might, put to death the deeds of the flesh. And verse 12 and 13 read this way, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So here we have a definite change from the teaching aspect in the first 11 verses where Paul is stating facts about what has already been accomplished to now how to apply that or to exhortation. He brings it in the thought of the idea of an obligation. Now we are obligated not to live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. At this point, I want to bring out one important thought. In relationship to the work and the role of the Holy Spirit, it's not as if we're simply passive when we don't do anything. We need to respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and put to death the deeds of the body. This is similar to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, where he says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." So there we see both aspects, where we're called to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, but verse 13 tells us we do this because it's God is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So it's not as if it's all God. It's not that it's all man. It's a combination of both. We respond to the power of the Holy Spirit that's available in the area of putting to death the deeds of the body. And so at verse 12, it says, "Therefore, brethren, we are no longer debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." We are no longer obligated to live according to the flesh. I love Romans 8:1 where it says we're under no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But at the same time, as we come to verse 12, it's not as if because we're under no condemnation that we look for excuses or opportunities for sin. We're not obligated to live according to the flesh. We've been set free from its power. I like what John Stott says in his commentary in the book of Romans. He says, "We have no obligation to the sinful nature. It has no claim on us. We owe it nothing. Our obligation is to the Spirit to live according to His desires and dictates." And so now we're free to serve the Lord for the first time because the power of sin has been broken over us, and now we have the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Paul has said similar words earlier in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14, especially at verse 12, where he says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts." So here it's a command to us to not let sin reign in our body, that we'd obey its lusts. Verse 13 says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." And because we're under grace, sin's power has been broken. We're not obligated to be a servant to sin any longer. We've been freed from that. And so now we are told as believers to not yield our bodies, the body parts, the instruments, as instruments for sin, but instruments of righteousness. And that's exactly what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8, verse 12. So the doctrine of grace, of being under no condemnation, does not lead to a lifestyle or a license to sin all that we want. It actually leads to a lifestyle of holiness through the power of the Holy Spirit to put to death the deeds of the body, because now we understand that we are no longer obligated or indebted to live according to the flesh. We're told earlier in Romans chapter 8 that to live according to the flesh is death. Verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the believer is not going to live that way because we're going to pursue the things that make for peace and the realm of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 12 tells us the obligation that we're not to live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then verse 13 tells us how to do that. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's the result. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And this passage is actually a great source of encouragement because on the one hand, in verse 12, we're told that we're not to live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Then verse 13 tells us how we're to do that, how we are actually to subdue the desires of the flesh, which every person will have. The desires of the flesh are not going to go away until the Lord transforms this body through the resurrection. So until then, there's going to be a battle. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, the flesh and the spirit, they wage war against one another. And the way to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord is through the power of the Holy Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body. And that is our only hope. That is our only chance, is that through the Spirit we're able to do these things. Thank God he didn't save us and say, okay, now go live a holy life. But he's deposited the Holy Spirit within us to empower us, to strengthen us, so that we can live a life that's pleasing to him. Stifler, in his commentary in the book of Romans, brings out a good point in contrast to not using the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, to subdue these by any other means is deceptive asceticism. And that means that if we try and put the deeds of the flesh to death by our own strength or by our own might or by our own means, it's just asceticism of us putting heavy laws upon ourselves or stricter obligations. That's not God's plan. God's plan is through the power of the Holy Spirit we're able to do this. And it's important to understand where he says that you put to death the deeds. It's in the present tense, which means it's an ongoing daily event that we need to do. The only way to live a life in the Spirit and live a life that's not controlled by the flesh or the desires of the flesh is by constantly, continually putting to death through the power of the Holy Spirit the deeds of the flesh. Griffith Thomas, in his commentary, translates this phrase this way: keep on making dead. And that's our obligation, through God's prompting of the Spirit and his power, to keep on making dead the deeds of the flesh. This is exactly what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, where he says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So Paul says, I have to beat this body into subjection because it has desires that are contrary to the things of the Spirit. So Paul says, I discipline it, or I buffet my body. And so obviously this is action that we must do. And you can't just sit around and think these desires are going to go away or say, I'm just going to pray or I'm going to completely submit to God. No, the Bible says that we, through the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. And it's an ongoing and it's a daily event. And I know it gets discouraging and tiring where we do want to give up and quit and say it's just easier to give in to these desires. But no, through God's help, we're able to conquer these things. Now, it's extremely important also to understand that Paul does not say that the flesh is to be destroyed, but that the deeds of the body are to be put to death in verse 13. So it's not that the physical body itself is evil in and of itself. Because Paul later on in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is going to say, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and pleasing to the Lord. Griffith Thomas, in his commentary in the book of Romans, brings this point out when he says this: the flesh cannot be destroyed in this life, but the deeds which proceed from it can be mortified or made dead. And that's the point. Not the physical body itself, but the deeds that are there or the desires that are there, that's what needs to be put to death on a constant basis. And it says the deeds of the body and you will live. Obviously talking about a quality of life, not just living eternally in the presence of the Lord, but also a quality of life that we could experience now. As we put to death the deeds of the body, we will experience eternal life. As Galatians 6 and verse 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And he's not talking about eternal life in heaven, but now presently we could reap of this quality of life as we put to death the deeds of the body. So as you study Scripture throughout, there's many commands within the Word of God, and God is not giving those commands to take away our joy, but actually to bring us fullness and abundant life. when he tells us not to do something because he knows that it would be according to the flesh and we'd reap corruption. And so the commands are there are to preserve life and to give us this everlasting life, this quality of life now. As the scriptures say, blessed is the man who endures or resists temptation. So if we want to experience the fullness of what's been given to us in verses 1 through 11 of chapter 8, now it's our responsibility that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body. And we will live, we'll experience that abundant, everlasting life now present in this life. There's so much more I'd like to say about these two wonderful verses, but we'll pick up our study tomorrow, continuing on through Romans chapter 8.